Larry Needler here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We, you know, we had some technical problems last week when our next guest was on. Didn't get to talk about his entire summer reading list recommendations, so we have him back, and he was kind enough to come back. Daniel Golden, the owner of Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee, is a great list to tell us about for books for you to read this summer. They include a mystery, a young adult selection, sci-fi, history, so a good range there. And looking to hear what you have to say, what book would you like to recommend from your summer reading list? What genre do you prefer to read in the summer? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us to ideas@wpr.org. Daniel Golden, welcome back. Thanks for coming back to be with us. He's back. I'll tell you what. This. Thanks for coming back. You know, we talked about a few books on your list, but there are people who probably didn't hear that list. So let's just do a quick review of what we talked about last time, maybe. And the murder mystery, The Bombay Prince. Sounds like a good one. What's it? Tell us what it's about again.
Oh, what a terrific writer Sujata Massey is. It's about, it's set in 1920s India, still a colony. And the series features Praveen Mistry, who is the first woman lawyer. She's based on two real lawyers. And in this case, she is investigating the death of a young woman at a college during the visit of the Prince of Wales. She weaves together a very good mystery. She gets shortlisted or wins awards for all of her books. And in the newest, there's, I like them all, but this is a particularly wonderful book because there's so much interesting history research that she did in it. She visits India for each book a couple of times, and such a wonderful character. So really good historical mystery.
And then we had a history book, Malcolm Gladwell's book.
Right, Bomber Mafia. So this is such an interesting book because it's a World War II history. We've seen a lot of those. In fact, Gladwell has noted that he has shelves and shelves of military history books and is particularly interested in bombing histories. But this is about sort of two directions the Air Force could have gone to. It's pretty much about a moment in Air Force history, why the Air Force is different from other units of armed forces, and how a decision about how to bomb really changed the scope of the war. It's an interesting book. It's a very, for those who don't like books that take forever or they have to read, this is a book you can read in one sitting. It is much more like his podcasts than his social psychology, business psychology. And it's also interesting. People always ask, is this available on audio? And in fact, it was an audio first and then adapted to a book.
Another good one. You had a sci-fi or fantasy books. They just seem to be more and more popular. What do you have for us in that genre?
Oh, that was The Chosen and the Beautiful by Nevo. Super exciting book about, inspired by The Great Gatsby, which is one of a number of books that went into public domain this year. We had many years where we had no books going into public domain because copyright was extended due to mostly the work of Disney because they were worried about Mickey Mouse. But now we can have all these amazing stories that pull off classics, much the way in the past some of the greatest literature pulls off Shakespeare or Dickens or the Bible. You know, like if a book isn't in public domain, you can still write a book inspired by Great Gatsby, but you can't use the same names of the characters. You can't have the plot too close. And so this is through Jordan Baker, who's a side character in The Great Gatsby. And in her voice, the book follows many of the similar themes, but it sort of on steroids. For one thing, Jordan is a Vietnamese immigrant, adopted. And for another thing, she has a way with magic. So she does paper magic. And the way Nevo, who is a Milwaukee writer, does this, he sort of brings into focus the class conflict, little incidents in The Great Gatsby that she take on much greater resonance. Just got an amazing review from Ron Charles in the Washington Post, which I couldn't have mentioned last week. I mean, spectacular. Yeah. So enjoyable.
Another great read. And you have a couple of books set in Michigan on the list this year. The first is Early Morning Riser.
Right. The Michigan novels. You know, we were just talking to Larry Watson, who, because his book, The Lives of Edie Pritchard, a wonderful book, just came out. He said, I'm not a Western writer, I'm a Northern writer. And so one of the things that you find a lot of similarities to the writers in Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, North Dakota. And so I read a lot of books set in Michigan. These two couldn't really be different. And yet there is some similar framework. So Early Morning Riser is a comic novel. And it is about a young woman who moves to Boyne City, Michigan to teach elementary school and falls in with this older man and realizes that he has a past of many, many girlfriends. It is a very funny book, but it kind of tricks you because you think you're reading like a romantic comedy. I mean, it's laugh out loud funny, but then it turns out to be a very interesting, heartwarming, sometimes sad book about building a family. And if you like Lori Colwin, who is having a renaissance again, they've just repackaged all her books. You can see her inspiration, Katherine Heine's inspiration from both her and Anne Tyler, are her two idols, and they both come to the forefront. The other book I was going to mention is my YA pick, Firekeeper's Daughter, though lots and lots of adults are reading this book. It's been on our bestseller list almost every week since it came out. It hit number one on the young adult bestseller list. It is set also in Michigan, and it is about a biracial young woman who has given up college to care for her aging relative. And her mom's family is French-Canadian, and and her dad's family are Native Indigenous people. But because her dad is not on the birth certificate, she does not have tribal affiliation. So she's really, this is a story that I've read several in different ways. There's a book called Call Me Indio I really liked, about people sort of being caught between the white world and the indigenous world and not having quite a place in either. The thing that's really wonderful about this book is it's also a really great thriller about a series of killings in the community connected to the meth, the rival of meth in the community. And it also has a wonderful, the main character has a interest in the Anishinaabemowin language. And there's a lot of language from the Ojibwe in the story. And that's why we've always sell this book with What the Chickadee Knows by Margaret Newton, who is the head of Electric Quinney Center at UWM. And she actually, I know we were talking a little about Indigenous folks in Milwaukee. She's very connected to the Indigenous community in Milwaukee. So she could collaborate with the next Meet Me Halfway with Jennifer Morales.
Well, I did, as an aside, I did have a great time talking with Jennifer.
Terrific conversation. Yes.
It was a lot of fun. Well, another book you had was The Five Wounds, I believe. And you mentioned that's a funny book, but not a comedy.
No.
What's the difference between that? Those.
I think that it's more of a family drama, but she does have a good sense of humor. I love that you're talking to this right after we talked about A Meet Me Halfway, because it's a book that I would really recommend to people who really liked Meet Me Halfway. It is about an old working class community in New Mexico. The book is very New Mexico centric. And it's about the Anatente, where they reenact the Jesus and the cross at Easter. And it starts with this young man. He's a middle-aged man, and he's really struggling he hasn't made anything of himself, and he's Jesus. He's going to be Jesus. Well, he gets in a nail accident with the cross and he has to go to the hospital. So the story is much about his mom. He's caught between his mom, who's been taking care of him, who's really kind of made a bit of herself. She's in, you know, and works in as an administrative aide in state government, but she's dying and she hasn't told him. And then his daughter, who is pregnant and a teenager, who's in a special school, who he's a bit estranged from, but comes to live with them when she has a fight with her mom. It's a terrific story. There's so much grace in the characters. And I know I can vouch, that's the only book I can vouch that Jennifer Morales would also say, a wonderful, wonderful book, because I've actually talked to her about it. So.
Okay. Well, funny, Gold Diggers might fall into that category.
Yes. You know, I do have a love for humorous novels and with depth. I like humor, but I feel like humor alone feels a little thin to me. And this is a high school novel about set in suburban Atlanta in the South Asian community, where there's a lot of pressure to be ambitious and get into the right school and get up the great grades and get the great internships. And everybody has that drive except for Neil, who's our narrator. He's sort of like, to refer back to The Great Gatsby, he's kind of the Nick Carraway. It's like, it's not his story, but he's, you know, he's telling the story. And even his friend Anita, who really didn't seem to be that ambitious, is suddenly ambitious, and she lets him in on a secret. She and her mom are stealing ambition from other people, melting it by stealing their gold, melting it down and drinking it like lemonade. So the story starts there. It's like a high school comedy, and then it goes into high gear as almost a caper novel in Silicon Valley. The book's gotten spectacular reviews. It plays with this idea of gold and ambition in all kinds of different ways. Very, very clever. I thought it was a terrific book, and I'm hoping to see it on some best of lists and maybe get some shortlist for awards, though. You know, the critical world is always a little prejudiced about comedy, you know. That's what the Simpsons are. Comedy and animation. It's hard to find a best picture that's, you know, that's a comedy and it's a hard skill. I don't think people value it as well. And it's funny too.
Well, let's talk about Great Circle, and readers are reacting to one of its characters quite a bit, yeah, are they, Dan?
They are. So it's the story of this historic female pilot who is going to circumnavigate the globe. The Great Circle is, you know, the large, like the equator is one, but also all the longitude lines. And she's figured out a way to circumnavigate the globe. And so it's partly based on her experiences, especially growing up in Montana and becoming, you know, what led to her journey. And then later on, there's a movie being made of her life. And we're following this actress, this young actress who has been in a series of scandals and has been given this opportunity to play this person based on a memoir that was found. And also the producer's mother wrote a book based on this woman. And the story winds up being how you really can't know somebody. So on one hand, we know that people don't really know what happened to this amazing pilot, but we know the intricate story of this actress that nobody else seems to understand. So you're playing it at from both angles. And the thing about Marion, the pilot, is that people think she's a real person when they finish the book. And they're always Googling her because she, you know, she just has such vibrant life. And she just, you know, she seems like she might be somebody who existed, but she didn't.
It's great. Well, you have also a real sleeper on your list. I know one that you love. And Jill promised to give me her copy of it, but she hasn't yet. But it's Leonard and Hungry Paul. Tell us about why you like it so much.
Well, I discovered this book the book came out last August. I had an opportunity to read it earlier. I gave it away. I didn't even know what it was. Nobody knew anything about it. And then just before Christmas, one of my customers came in and said how much he loved the book and convinced me to buy a copy for myself. And then another customer came in. And this book, let me say, had not been selling. We had sold 3 copies, one to the customer, one to me, and one to like somebody else. And I actually knew who the person was. And I called her or emailed her and said, what did you think of the book? And she said, I love the book. And I was like, that's funny. I did too, but nobody's, if nothing's happening with it. And the more I talked to people about it, the more I sold this book, the more people would come back to me telling me how much they loved it. It's, I don't know what it is that's not, it just needs to read the right person and it'll explode because it's got that man called Ovid, Elegance of the Hedgehog thing. It's about 2 friends who live in contemporary Dublin. They're in their 30s. One of them probably needs a job. One wants a girlfriend. It's a quiet episodic book. The author really loves Japanese fiction. And so it has this sort of, he's sort of inspired by that in terms of the very quiet moments in the story. It's very funny, but it's not, once again, it's quietly funny. And it's about the power of wisdom of quiet people and the power of kindness. So it almost seems like, if you know that book, Susan Cain's Quiet, which was a big phenomenon mm-hmm. for several years, she was doing, I'm sure she did at least one public radio, Wisconsin Public Radio, if not all of them, because people just love, because we're readers, we're introverts. We love people hearing that quiet is power. This is like the fictional representation of it. So so I hope you enjoy it when you get it from Jill.
From Jill. She'll get it to me eventually. Well, Punch Me Up to the Gods by Brian Broom. That sounds like a wild read.
Oh, you know, it was recommended to me by one of my fellow booksellers, Chris, and Maddie read it too. We have several Pittsburghers on our staff, so they're always drawn to that city's stories. But this is a particularly amazing story. There's so many, there are been a lot of, especially it's Pride Month, and there have been a lot of interest in queer people of color. And so I've been reading several different novels and especially memoirs. And I thought this was one of the best because he's such a good storyteller. It's about growing up in small town Ohio, or not even a small town, a small city that's been devastated by industrial losses, and then in Pittsburgh. He caught sort of, you know, when I mentioned this thing with being caught between two worlds. So, you know, the white people kind of ignore him, and the black men especially ridicule him because he doesn't really fit anywhere. And it's about this struggle for him to find a place, especially with his parents are also have trouble with his identity. And he just tells these crazy stories of growing up. And that's why I thought the quote for Augustine Burroughs, who wrote Running with Scissors, which was a huge bestseller, I thought it was a really good comparison, because, and then also Kesey Lehman, who wrote Heavy, which is all, he's also a spectacular writer. And I thought, like, people complain about blurbs. They're like, the person didn't really read the book, whatever, I don't believe it. But the thing is that an editor or a marketing person who puts together the right blurbs that really capture, if you like this person, you'll like this person. I think it's a gift, and I think they did it. So highly recommend it.
And then you have, I think maybe actually 3 Madison-based writers on the list. Lost Summerland is one of the books.
Yes. So Lost in Summerland, Milwaukee has some really terrific writers, but boy, there are some great writers in Madison. And 2 of my favorite books of last year were We Ride Upon Styx by Quan Barry and The Coyotes of Carthage by Stephen Wright. And I actually was connected to this book by Stephen Wright. I said to him, he's such a great writer. He's such a great speaker. I was like, what would you like to talk about? Like, who should we bring in that you would do the conversation with? And he said, we should definitely do Lost in Summerland, with me not knowing that he grew up in Milwaukee. So this is a travel writer. He does these really terrific stories about going to crazy places. So Disaster City, which I think is in Texas, the West Wing Convention, Lilydale, which is that new age Mecca in upstate New York. And he's been in Best American Travel Writing twice, but he takes his stories to a different level, because while they are, these places are quirky and interesting, he finds things about himself and about society and how they resonate in terms of what's happened to our culture in terms of politics and differences and what we value. And you know, you can see why he's been in Best American twice. My only regret was that they're really interesting stories, and I wanted a whole book about each one of them. He has actually, I think it's in, oh goodness, I can't remember. I think it's Harper's. I sometimes get, I think he was in Harper's. He just did one on being in a TikTok house, like an influencer house. And it was the same, that's not in the book, but it, you can find it online, and it's a really interesting story too.
Oh man. Well, here we are running out of time. Jeff called to recommend the book Slow Horses by Mick Herron, a spy thriller. Rona recommended Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. I've read that by Rebecca Skloot. Another, that was a Go Big Read book from the University of Wisconsin. And we didn't get to all of them, but we have the list with the Daniel's comments. And we post that, go to ideas at WPR.org/Larry. Go to WPR.org/Larry. And Daniel's list with his comments are on all of the books. And thank you again. Daniel, I hope we can drag you back again another time. Thank you.
Yes, I look forward to actually going back. I love actually just driving to Madison.
Maybe the next time we'll be back in the studios. Daniel Golden is the owner of Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee, a great, great bookstore. Take a look at his website as well. Tomorrow we'll talk about different types of organic mulches on Garden Talk, and maybe talk about trellising and pruning tomatoes and vine crops. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mealer.